Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for those words, those familiar words, God, that speak of the coming of Jesus. I pray that we might see Jesus in what's shared this morning, that we might grow in our relationship with you, God, and that we might be equipped to serve you in seeking to usher in your kingdom of justice and righteousness in Glasgow and in the world. I pray this in your name. Amen. Darkness, light, the dawn. For to us a child is born. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He shall establish and uphold his kingdom with righteousness and justice. In my preparations for sharing today, I've been blessed afresh by the power of these words. Words written on a scroll thousands of years ago, but with deep, deep meaning, relevance, and significance to us today in the 21st century. One of the things I love about Christmas, and yes, we are in December, so we can now speak about Christmas without a sigh. One of the things I love is the visual spectacle of it. Now, of course, it's safe to say that our society has gone overboard somewhat with its love of lights and its love for consumerism. But I can't help but get a Christmassy feeling whenever I walk through our city centres and see beautiful lights everywhere, see beautiful Christmas trees everywhere. It's wonderful. But God has reminded me this past week, in amongst the noise and the busyness of Christmas in our city centres, He's reminded me of the imagery and the power of these words. Darkness, light, the dawn, for to us a child is born. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he shall establish and uphold his kingdom with righteousness and justice. As we've just heard read, these familiar words come towards the start of the book Isaiah in chapter 9. Isaiah was a prophet who was called by God to share a message of both judgment and a message of hope. So despite once being victims of injustice under the brutal rule of Pharaoh in Egypt, and despite God miraculously liberating the Israelites from slavery, Israel had become a rebellious nation in their own right. They regularly broke from their relationship with God. They worshipped things other than God. And they were perpetrators of injustice, neglecting the least and the lost on their doorstep. Isaiah starts, as he means to go on, in chapter 1, whereby he says, "Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case for the widow." Isaiah's message of judgment warned Israel that this rebellion would come at a cost. Their kingdom will soon be chopped down if they didn't change. So Isaiah had a message of judgment. But as is often the case in the Bible, a message of judgment is also woven in with a message of hope. And that hope is that God will not leave his people in that state forever, God will fulfill the promises given to Abraham to bless all of the nations of the world, not just Israel, all of the nations. A Messiah will come from David's line. A branch will emerge from the stump that's been chopped down. From this, God's blessing will flow out, and he will usher in a kingdom of justice, peace, and healing. So this is as much a message for today as it was for the people of Israel thousands of years ago. We live in a world where many live in darkness and need to see the light of Jesus. I'd love to take some time this morning considering some of the words that I reiterated at the start. And just really unpack maybe ways that they're relevant to us at the beginning of Advent as we move towards the madness of Christmas, remembering Jesus, the light of the world, coming into this world. And also share maybe some thoughts on how these words might connect with issues that either we or other people in the world are facing. So the first word is darkness. Unfortunately, you don't need to look very far until you see the darkness and its effects in our world. It can emerge in many different ways. Perhaps it comes from a situation that you today are facing in your life where you feel far from God. Relationship difficulties, a loss of job, the illness of a loved one. These things can cause us to feel like we are living and walking in a land of deep darkness. Perhaps it's that you feel the heaviness of sin in your life. Maybe you are trying to shrug off a tendency or an addiction that you have. Perhaps you're putting your trust in things other than in God. Again, these things can cause us to feel like we're living and walking in a land of deep darkness. Or perhaps you feel hopeless in face of the injustice that we see in our world. You turn on the news and there's another horrendous thing that has just happened. All of these things, whether caused by something we've done or something we feel helpless to do anything about, can lead us to feel like we're walking and living in dark. How can God's light break in? As I mentioned earlier when Stephen was interviewing me, I work for an organization called International Justice Mission. And through this work, I've heard stories and met people who are living and walking in the midst of some of the darkest situations imaginable. As I mentioned before, IJM is a global team of Christian lawyers, social workers, investigators, activists, and supporters who protect the poor from violence throughout the developing world. We do this through partnering with justice systems, as I was explaining, to rescue victims of violence, to bring criminals to justice, to restore survivors, and to strengthen justice systems. One of the things that I have become passionate about through my work with IJM is to see the end of the darkness of slavery. There are currently somewhere in the region of 40 million people in our world who live in slavery. 40.3 million, to be precise. This is more than any other point of time in history, including the height of the transatlantic slave trade. During the 400 years of the slave trades, about 10 million people were taken out of Africa to different parts of the world, which is a shocking scar on human history, But to think that four times that number live in slavery today is a sobering thought. To put it another way, during the time that we'll be in church this morning, another 180 children will be sold into slavery. Imagine that for a moment. These are brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, sons, daughters, grandchildren who are sold and who disappear without a trace. These children are sold into brick kilns, into grimy apartments, and onto fishing boats. But we know that they belong in schools, in families, and in playgrounds. Some examples of what this looks like in the world. In October last year, I had the privilege of leading a team of IJM supporters to Kolkata and to Delhi. Despite slavery being made illegal in India in 1976, researchers suggest that 18 million people, almost half of the world's slave population, live in India alone. Now, despite these numbers and despite it being against the law, a slave owner is statistically more likely to be struck by lightning and killed than he or she is to actually be held to account for that crime. A common form of slavery can be seen in its many brick kilns, and you can see a scene from one of those kilns in this picture. While in Delhi, we drove about 3 hours outside of the city to a rural, hazy part of India, where you could see brick kiln chimneys dotted on the horizon all over the place. Long story short, we visited one of the brick kilns, where at the peak season, 300 to 400 slaves are kept in one facility, and they would make upwards of 17,000 bricks every day, working 20-hour days. So from the visible brick kilns of India to the hidden apartments of the Philippines, where thousands of children are forced to do unimaginable things in front of webcams. Exploitation which is directed and viewed from Western countries, including right here in Scotland. Cybersex trafficking is a devastating and rapidly growing form of modern-day slavery. Shockingly, 54% of IJM's clients that we've worked with are between the ages of 1 and 12. This was the reality for Marco, enslaved at the age of 7, along with his sister Gabby, who was 3, and 2 others. Finally, for a boy living on the shores of Lake Volta in Ghana, slavery looks like a childhood spent diving down to great depths to untangle fishing nets. It looks like constant physical abuse. It looks like no access to school or healthcare, and it looks like very little in the way of food and rest. Nearly 50,000 children work in Ghana's fishing industry, the majority of which are held in slavery. This was Foley's life. Deceived by his uncle, taken from his grandfather, not allowed to go to school, and forced to work. So some of these situations are so dark, it seems the light of the dawn, as we read in Isaiah, it seems that the light of the dawn is very far away. Any light that once existed in these places has surely by now been snuffed out. But has it? Our second word this morning is light. The chief lie of the devil is to tell us that there is no morning. The sun will never rise again. That we are in darkness forever and there is no hope of escape. It's a powerful lie and it crushes many people. Yes, the world we live in is dark, but a light has dawned. We read in Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. God's response to the darkness of sin and humanity's legacy of injustice is the person of Jesus. For to us a child is born. How crazy is that? The response to darkness and injustice in the world is a little baby boy. As I mentioned, my wife and I have a little boy called Harris, and he's almost two. Speaking with some experience of parenthood, and contrary to the song Away in a Manger, I'm sure the baby Jesus was a baby who cried, who kept his parents up all night, and who needed caring for 24/7. So this grand plan, this solution of God to send a baby is far removed from that which we would be used to in our day. You hear on the news, there's been an act of violence somewhere in the world. Let's meet that with violence. But no, God meets it with a baby born in a manger. For to us a child is born. The light of Jesus can pierce the darkest of situations in our world. Situations you are facing in your life today. Sins that maybe you want to conquer and get rid of once and for all. And the great injustices faced by many in our world. This light is the wonderful counselor who you can draw near to when you are in need of support. This light is the mighty God who came to earth as a baby and left it as the savior of all. This light is the everlasting Father who is ever faithful and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This light is the Prince of Peace who has begun to usher in his kingdom of righteousness and justice and will continue to do so through his church, through you and I, until he returns. So a few questions just to ponder. Where is there darkness in our lives? And where is there darkness in our world? Will we choose to see light in those dark places? Will we pray that the light of Jesus would break into the darkest situations? Will we be the light of Jesus in a dark and in a hurting world? The final word I want to consider, well, words I want to consider this morning are justice and righteousness. In verse 7, we read that Jesus, as this is being foretold, Jesus will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it with justice and righteousness from that time on, so from when Jesus was born as a baby, and forever. So let me read that again. Jesus will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus' kingdom is to be marked by justice and righteousness. What does that mean? And what does it mean for us in our day-to-day lives? If I was to put that out to the floor, I'm sure I would get a range of different answers. Part of my job with IJM involves speaking at churches, meeting with church leaders, to speak about the role of justice in the life of our churches. So as part of this, I've done a little bit of reading into this and the whole area. And if you dig a bit deeper into these two words, you get a fascinating insight into what they mean, not just from a definitional point of view, but what they mean for us as followers of Christ. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar. I'll say that at the start. But I am well informed that the Hebrew words for justice and righteousness are mishpat and tzedakah. And these words are commonly coupled together through our English Bibles. Justice and righteousness often come as part of the same thing. And they're also used interchangeably throughout the Bible at different points of it. So firstly, mishpat, or justice, what does this mean? The emphasis of on this word is actually action. We are called to do mishpat. We are called to do justice. So there's an active perspective to this. And this word is closely aligned to the concept of the rule of law, as we would know today, i.e. it's the restriction of abuse of power by enforcing well-defined and established laws. It can refer to retributive justice. So if a wrong has been committed, there should be appropriate punishment of that wrong. But more commonly, it refers to restorative justice, the idea of seeking out vulnerable people and helping them. The idea of taking steps to advocate for the vulnerable, and whatever way that looks, whether it's speaking to power or whether it's just advocating for them in day-to-day tasks that they struggle with. It refers to attempting to change the social structures to prevent injustice happening in the first place. Tzedakah, on the other hand, or righteousness. I think when we hear the word righteousness, most people kind of turn inwards, and it has a bit of a negative connotation, doesn't it? If you describe someone as being self-righteous, that's not a particularly nice thing. But in fact, in the Bible, tzedakah is an ethical standard of right relationships between people. It's not an internal thing, it's a community thing. It's day-to-day living that treats others as image bearers of God. Therefore, if tzedakah, or righteousness, was present, it would render mishpat, or justice, unnecessary because everyone would be living in right relationships with one another. So let's step back from that kind of heavy word study. What does it have to do with Advent? Why am I unpacking this now? The Advent story is not just a nice story that we have filled with bright lights, with Christmas trees, and with lots of yummy food. Jesus stepped into the darkness of our world in order to bring light. In doing this, he demonstrated and called his people to an upside-down kingdom, a radical, selfless way of life, whereby we recognize our brokenness and reliance on God, but whereby we also seek to usher in his kingdom of righteousness and justice, so that those living and walking in darkness might see Jesus, the light of the world. IJM exists as an organization to bring that light of Jesus into the darkest situations in our world. And we are the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. And God working in and through us as an organization has enabled us to see thousands of people rescued from slavery every year. to use the words of Isaiah, the people walking in darkness or the people walking in slavery or injustice have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness or slavery or injustice, a light has dawned. Now, I'm glad that the illustrations of modern day slavery that I shared at the start are not the end of their stories. Going back to India, you'll remember the context of slavery in the country of India. Our teams there, we have hundreds of staff in India alone. And their vision is to mortally wound the giant of slavery so that we might see an end to slavery in our lifetime. Last year, IJM had our largest ever rescue operation. And this really illustrates the significant strides we are making towards that goal. In a joint operation between the police and IJM, we saw 564 children, women, and men rescued from forced labor slavery at one massive brick kiln in Chennai, India. One government official asked the crowd, "Who wants to go free?" But he was met with stunned silence. Slowly, one man raised his hand, and soon another, and soon dozens of tired hands shot into the air, ready to exit slavery into a life of freedom. These survivors were returned to their home state of Orissa, which was about 1,000 miles away from where they had been trafficked to. And they were enrolled in IJM's 2-year freedom program. As part of this, IJM regularly meets with these people and through our aftercare partners, connect with them to ensure that their short and their long-term needs are met. In the Philippines, in the case of Marco and his sister Gabby, in 2015, a man living in London was convicted for exploiting children via a webcam. The National Crime Agency shared a tip with IJM, and we worked closely with the Philippine National Police to locate a trafficking ring and also the victims who were being held. This led us and the police to Marco and his sister, Gabby, and the two others who were held in that apartment. Marco and the others are now thankfully in a government-run aftercare shelter and are all enrolled at school. The road of restoration for them will be long, but Marco and the others are now free. Ghana, thousands of people held in slavery. And in 2014, thanks to the generosity of our supporters all over the world, we were able to open an office in Ghana. And we have been able to rescue over 100 boys from slavery since our office opened. And this included Foley, a boy who was enslaved by his uncle. I'm going to play a video now, which will... Darkness, light, the dawn. For to us a child is born. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he shall establish and uphold his kingdom with righteousness and justice. If we are willing, the global church, working in the power of Jesus, the light of the world, is uniquely positioned to make a difference to the darkness of this world. We have God's Word, which is an amazing book that speaks of God's heart and therefore what should be on our heart as well. We can provide resources to help churches dig into that more. We at IJM believe in the role of prayer, and that sounds a really cliche thing for a Christian organization to do, but you've got a sense of the level of danger that a lot of our staff in the world are faced with on a daily basis, and they need to be covered in prayer. And we have an hour of every working day which is dedicated to prayer, which is a real privilege to get paid for praying an hour a day. And we invite you all to join us in that. And we can resource and facilitate that. We're called to be a generous church that's so into God's kingdom of justice and righteousness. There's various ways you can do that with lots of amazing organizations around the world, but you can do that with IJM. You can become a Freedom Partner and enable our work around the world through regular giving. Or maybe as you're thinking about Christmas presents, you might want to think of some alternative gifts and give the gift of freedom this Christmas instead of something else. And finally, humble service. We're called to be a people who humbly serve the least and the lost in our world. And that what that might look like for you will undoubtedly be different depending on what's in your hands. What are the things? Is it a musical instrument? Is it a passion? Is it time? Is it particular expertise in a certain field? What things are in your hand and how can you put these things before God for him to use powerfully? Thank you so much. Let me close our time in prayer and I'll hand back over to Stephen and the band. Father God, at the start of Advent, we thank you for sending Jesus as a baby, a vulnerable baby into our world, who would grow up to be the savior of the world. We thank you for all that that means for us and that we have a relationship with you through Jesus. Father, I pray for the dark places in our world, in our lives, and on the other side of the world or in this city. We pray that light would come. I pray that we would see the light of Jesus when we're in the midst. Maybe some of us are in the midst of that dark place now. I pray that we would see Jesus in it. I pray that the light of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas will break into those situations, God. And that you will speak to us as to what our role is in bringing something of that light into dark situations that are going on in our communities and people around us and around the world. We place this before you and pray that you would move by your spirit. We thank you for Jesus and we pray in his name. Amen.